Dave Moore
on Today FM.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. All the better for seeing your face light up my screen. But let me ask you, what's happening behind you? Because it's chaotic.
It is chaotic. We moved house 2 days ago. And so I'm currently sitting in a room with orange walls. They've got to go at some point. And a lot of cardboard boxes.
I can just imagine how glad you were when a reminder popped up on your phone, must talk to Dave in Dublin about show. You're like, I'm in the middle of boxes, Dave.
Do you know what, Dave? Honestly, anything to take me away from the boxes. I would speak to just about anyone on a call right now to get away from this.
It is so exhausting, isn't it? Like, I haven't moved, thankfully, in a long time, but I had a rental house for a while. And even getting out of that and get everything, it was just such a nightmare.
Oh, it really, we're never moving again. My husband and I, we will die in this house now.
And
that is it.
You realise how much utterly useless stuff you accumulate, but then you go to throw it out and go, but I picked up that novelty cowboy hat that time I was, like, and you're like, no, please throw it out.
The nostalgia, and I find that as I'm getting older as well, sort of, you know, I'm hurtling towards 50 and suddenly things like Ladybird books. I don't have children. Why have I got so many Ladybird books?
Trust me, Angela, I have 4 kids and none of them are interested in Ladybird books.
Oh, of course not.
I recently got gifted a beautiful box set of all of the Enid Blyton Famous 5 books and I was so excited to show my children. They looked at me and went, books? My smart speaker just reads to me at night. I'm like, oh, God.
I remember giving my little goddaughter once a book when she was about 3 and she tried to, like, pinch it and make the pictures bigger. With her feet. I was like, oh, no, times have changed.
Yeah, they really have changed, in fairness. Listen, let's talk about the fact that you are coming to both Belfast and Dublin to do live shows.
Yes.
This is very exciting. So September 5th, you're going to be in the Mac in Belfast. And September 6th, you'll be in the Sugar Club in Dublin. Have you been there before?
I've never been. I'm really excited. I keep hearing really nice things about it. Oh, I can't wait to get there. This will be the first time I've done a show in Dublin, so I'm really excited.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I've taken shows to Kilkenny Festival and Galway Festival and things like that, but this will be the first time I've brought a tour show to Dublin. So please come out and see it. Otherwise, it'll just be me on my own in the Sugar Club.
People will definitely come out and see you. They'll know you from everything you've ever done. But let's talk about your new tattoo.
Ah, the new tattoo. My donkey.
A donkey? There it is in its all its glory. What was the inspiration behind this one?
So I've always had a bit of a thing about donkeys.
Okay.
I just think they're wise creatures, donkeys. And we could learn a lot from them, from Eeyore to Benjamin the donkey and Animal Farm. They're always the wise ones. And so I've always had a bit of a thing about them. And I love the kind of Scandinavian folk art style
of that's what it
drawing
looks like.
Of florals. So I found this brilliant tattoo artist who designed me a donkey. The donkey's called Derek, by the way, because it's named after my dad.
Yes.
And
I love that.
She designed me this beautiful donkey and there it is forever.
Fantastic. I do a thing on the show called Bad Jokes, okay? I do it twice a week. I just tell bad jokes. Can I tell you my bad donkey joke? Listen, you've probably heard it, but I'll tell you. And you can act like you've never heard it before, right?
Here we go. I'll brace myself, Dave.
Okay. Two lads walk into a bar. And the barman says, you want a drink? And the fella says, yeah, a pint for me and a pint for my mate donkey. And this continues all night. He's like, pint for me, pint for my donkey. Pack a crisp for me, pack a crisp for my mate donkey. And eventually the barman says, sorry, donkey, what story of him calling you donkey? He goes, ah, hee-haw, hee-haw, he always calls me that.
Oh, gosh.
Like I said, they're bad jokes.
You're a good radio presenter, aren't you? So I don't have to worry about you making a living.
No, there will be absolutely no chance of me telling jokes for a living. Absolutely not. But what about the show when you bring it here? What are we going to get out of an Angela Barnes show?
So the show's called Angst, but I want to put people at ease. I'm not trying to make anyone worried. Okay. I'm the worrier. So it's about, I'll be 50 next year, Dave. So I'm having a bit of a midlife think. The Germans have a great word for it because they have great words for everything, don't they? And their word for it is Torschluss Panic, which means the panic of a closing gate.
Oh, fantastic.
And isn't that great? It describes it, doesn't it? It's
yes.
Just, oh no, I'm nearly 50 and there's all this stuff I haven't done. And so that's sort of what the show's about. It's my kind of midlife show. But also, it's jokes. You know,
of course.
The bottom line, you're not going to learn anything. You're not going to come away feeling different about the world. It's jokes, it's stories. And the most important thing is I want the audience to have a laugh and feel better about their own life because they'll think, at least I'm not her. That's the goal.
That, to be honest with you, is one of the best selling points I've ever had a comedian say about the show. Come and you'll feel better about your own life compared to mine.
Exactly that. That's the goal.
Angela, people will know you from lots of things, but as I said, I've been creeping your Instagram and I found out some things about you. I believe it was a number of, maybe a decade or so ago, but you learned to swim as a grown-up.
I did. I was in my late 30s when I learned to swim. I never did it.
So I've got a couple of things. So my mom, for example, never learned to swim because she hates water. But you obviously were either at some point you did, but you, they weren't brave enough to turn it around and learn. Or did you just, was it just, what inspired you in your mid-30s?
I loved being in water. That was the thing. I never had the fear of it. I just didn't go to a school where they had swimming lessons and my parents didn't take me for swimming lessons. So it just never happened. And I loved going in the sea. I live in Hastings now, which is beautiful, on the beach, you know. And but I just never learned to swim. And I would sort of splash around and eventually get somewhere. But when I was 37, I thought, right, this is silly. I need to actually. And I really love swimming now. I swim all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, I love it. I love swimming in the sea.
My next question was, I don't mind swimming in, you know, a tropically temperatured swimming pool or indeed tropical waters. But I live beside the sea in Ireland and I will never get in. I will never get in. I will watch everyone else getting in. I'll bring my kids down. I'll encourage them all. I'll keep an eye on them. But I am not getting in that water.
No, I don't blame you. I mean, where we are on the channel, it's maybe a little
couple
bit
of
warmer.
Degrees warmer, yeah,
but not a lot. No. I don't think so. I'm not one of these, you know, going on Christmas Day people. I'm not all year round. I'm very much a fair weather sea swimmer.
Fair.
Yeah but I do yeah, there's something about being in the sea. I think it just makes you sort of go, oh, nothing else really matters, does it? This is much more powerful than I am.
Yes.
So.
Okay, fair. No, that's actually a good explanation for it, because I see it all the time, people going down. I'm like, why are you doing this to yourself? I'm one of those people who, like, you know, I'm at that age now, similar to you, a bit older, but I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. I'm not motivated by that. I'm the opposite. I'm like, I want a serious arse groove in the middle of my comfort zone where I've just been sitting all day drinking tea and having a lovely time. That's what I'm committed to.
I think it goes either way. You either, that's what happens, or for some reason, men start cycling, women start outdoor swimming. That seems to be the divide. Either way, you're getting some Lycra.
Yes,
so it's either you choose the Lycra road or you don't.
Did you also go to a silent disco recently? And how is that? I've never been to one.
You really have been stalking.
I was. I really was everywhere. look, I didn't slide into your DMs just to say, oh, by the way, that's me liking all your videos from 10 years ago about swimming.
I'm a bit worried tomorrow. I'm just going to see you at my front door.
Hastings, you said. Hastings. Orange walls. I'll be there.
You'll find it. It's the house with the orange walls and the cardboard boxes at the window. You can't miss it. What did you want? Oh, yes. No, that's right. Silent disco.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. So we got married. In fact, it's our wedding anniversary this week.
Congratulations.
4 years ago we got married. Thank you. And at our wedding, we had a silent disco because we had a sort of, it was still COVID time. So we had an outdoor wedding and we had to turn off the amplified music by 11 p.m.
Okay.
But everyone, because we were in the field, everyone was camping all night. So we didn't want to stop the party.
What a cool wedding. Festival wedding.
It was great fun. It was brilliant. So a friend suggested a silent disco and that's what we did. And it's great because you carry on dancing, but no one else can. I mean, you look insane. I've got a video somewhere because at some point we did a conga. But of course you can't, you see the video, you can't hear the music. It's just people going, hey.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? My perception of it is that people are either humming or singing or just making noises that you would otherwise never hear at a disco, but you hear them just doing it.
It's so funny because have you ever done it when you're walking along, you've got your earphones in and you suddenly realise you're singing?
Yes.
And you stop the music and you hear yourself and just go, oh my God.
I do it in the supermarket and I listen to death metal, right? And this is, I know this, like my listeners will tell you this is true, right? I have these massive, specifically designed heavy metal headphones where the lead singer of Sepultura comes, when you turn them on, he goes, power on. You're like, yes, this is amazing, right? So I'm walking around picking up cucumbers and tomatoes and I'm sitting there going, and then I will destroy your family and kill everyone you know. Waving at my neighbours going, hi, Mrs. McGurty, how are you? I'm like, oh, Jesus, I need to stop.
I bet your kids love that, don't
they?
Oh,
they're never embarrassed by me at all. They're so happy to go shopping with
that. You're doing your job. That is a dad's job, to humiliate their kids in the community.
Oh, I'm the CEO of that. Don't you worry. Angela Barnes, it's so great to catch up with you. We'll see you on the 5th of September in Belfast and the Max 6th of September in the Sugar Club in Dublin. An amazing venue. Go and see Angela. You're not going to regret it, I promise you. Angela, thanks a million.
Thanks so much for having me, Dave. Cheers.
Cheers.
Dave Moore on Today FM.